just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, have you ever gone to an opening night of a film?
Ooh, I'm sure I have. I'm going to go say yes.
That looks like a guess. I don't think you know.
I don't know if I've been to many grand I know I've done grand openings of things in the past.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to think of them. I don't really think of anything right offhand.
I've been to a couple midnight releases of movies and things.
You used to buy albums at midnight. Does that count?
Oh, Grandpa, what?
Picture it, kids. Outside of me outside of media play.
I thought I said, did you run home and put them on your record player? The latest Beethoven's out today.
Close.
Opening days are super exciting for people.
Yeah.
Especially now when we have so much information beforehand people get hyped and hyped and hyped and hyped until they finally open, and then people are just stirred into a frenzy over things.
Completely true.
Case in point, just read today, man in Tennessee suing Popeyes for running out of their new chicken sandwiches.
Oh,
because
yes.
He was too excited.
Right.
And they didn't have them.
That's true.
Opening
KFC
days,
just came out with vegan chicken this week here in Atlanta, and they sold out in 5 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And those vegans are really looking for some chicken.
I'm not even vegan if we try to go find it. Just saying.
So all of this is just to say that people get really excited, and media and all sorts of, you know, things get people more and more and more excited about things. And this is something that Disney has been dealing with forever.
Since the beginning of time.
Since the beginning of Disney, they have been dealing with the hype.
The hype or the lack of the hype.
The hype or lack thereof. Starting even with their first film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, it was a big deal. The first full-length animated film was a big deal that people thought was going to be horrific, and it turned into just
an American classic.
Very good. It was a huge success, which then leads us to kind of the topic we're talking about today, which is the opening days at physical Disney attractions.
Yeah.
They have done it numerous times now. many, many times, all over the world, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And you would think that having done it so many times, they would have a formula. They would know what they wanted to do. And yet, we have found that they really still have no idea.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of the things that I find most fascinating about the Disney company in a whole, is how they manage people and manage crowds and manage expectations and the whole crowd management thing. I like live production. I like the theatrics of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really intrigued by the way that they, you know, like I said, I go on rides multiple times and don't even realize the ride because I'm looking at the practicality of it, you know, and don't even see the other stuff. So to me, this is always really fascinating. And even more so now with some of their biggest openings ever.
Right. We're going to go all the way back to Disneyland 1955.
Yeah, that was a big opening.
July 17th, 1955. It's also known as Black Sunday in the Disney community.
Oh.
Because it was a madhouse.
They opened on a Sunday?
Apparently.
It's a day, isn't it?
It might have been their official preview day, or
okay.
It was their media day for sure. They had all the cameras there. Ronald Reagan was there reporting.
Can you imagine?
Big deals.
I don't even know how you get a present to broadcast from a park.
Just get him out of the old office and tell him to head to Disneyland. It was a terrible ordeal. No one had done this before, though. This is kind of a first-time sort of situation.
Yeah.
Disney had built this park in a year.
Unbelievable.
I can't even begin to fathom how insane that is.
They are going to be redoing one of the main rides at Epcot, and it's going to be down for 2.5 years for a refurbishment. And
right.
They built an entire park in a year. Unbelievable.
So that day, 1955, there were some things that were unforeseen. For instance, the extremely high temperatures in California that day.
Oh.
They peaked out around 100 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
Super hot. In such, their newer asphalt that they had laid didn't have time to cure properly in that temperature, so women's high heels were sinking into the asphalt as they were walking into the park. There was a plumber's strike, so the drinking fountains weren't working.
Which is your favorite quote of Walt Disney's ever?
My favorite quote of Walt Disney's. They say, "Walt, what do we finish, the bathrooms or the water fountains?" And he says, "Well, they can drink Pepsi or Coke, but they can't pee in the streets. Finish the bathrooms." Get it, Walt. They also had the Mark Twain incident, where they apparently overloaded it, and the water started coming over the decks of they Mark Twain.
The Mark Twain. 5 feet of water.
And they had sent out specific tickets for people to show up that day and planned on having 15,000 people show up to the park. And due to hype and the desire to see what Disney had done and the ability to counterfeit those tickets, 28,000 people showed up.
Wow.
So almost double the amount of people that they were planning on.
Funny enough, we now call that a slow day at Disney.
That is a slow day at Disney now.
But the park is now 4 times larger than it probably was back then.
Right. So their first step into the theme park world was not smooth by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. And obviously things have gotten better since then. And they've learned, right?
You hopefully. Think so.
But then you jump forward. We've had a whole podcast on this, but Disneyland Paris opening had the opposite problem, where they planned on thousands of people showing up and a fraction of the people that they planned on showing up showed up. They'd had a very troubled construction. It cost them way more than they were planning on. The Parisian people were not too excited about Disney coming into the area. And it caused major issues for Disney for years afterward.
Yeah.
So much that it affected every park that Disney already owned.
Uh-huh.
Rest in peace, the new Tomorrowland that was supposed to be. So again, they had a tumultuous opening in Anaheim, and then a very lackluster, underwhelming opening in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Between that, though, they'd opened Florida, which went fairly well.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought I heard the same thing about Magic Kingdom, is that it was underrated on the first opening of it as well. But I can't remember if that's true or not.
Well, people were disappointed that it basically wasn't a carbon copy of what was in California.
Mm.
Which I have my own issues with, because I think that's silly. But they were planning on doing all sorts of different things in Florida, and people said, no, we want exactly what they have in California.
Yeah.
And that's why we have Pirates of the Caribbean that we have in Florida. Because they had to rush it in there because people were so mad they didn't get Pirates of the Caribbean.
Slap it in there.
I can't, you know, I can't blame them. Pirates is a great ride, but, you know.
Yeah, it's even better now.
So you look at these openings. They've also opened California Adventure. They've opened all the other parks down in Florida. They've opened Hong Kong. They've opened, you know. Yeah,
from what I remember, when they opened Animal Kingdom, that was pretty amazingly well done. It was really hyped in a good way, I think, and it felt really unique as a very unique park when it first opened.
Sure.
And I remember I was not a Disney person at all during those days and thinking, this thing sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's very different from
what it sounded out of this world even to me as a youngster, you know, as a youngster. As like a teenager, like, I would love to try go there one day.
With your records.
My midnight
Your midnight record sales. California Adventure was not overly well accepted when it opened. People
it
were
took
grumpy
years
about
to fix that thing.
California Adventure.
It's completely true.
People were less than impressed with Epcot originally. Like, Disney has a real... They run the gamut with how popular their attractions, new parks, everything is. I mean, we showed up to California Adventure the opening weekend of the new...
Cars Land?
Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a madhouse. However, they had it very organized. Do you remember that day?
I sure do.
We get into the park. Initially, upon walking into the park, they say, if you want to ride the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride for Fast Passes, you stand over here at the beginning of the park. Before you even walk down Main Street, they had us standing in line. And then they had a cast member walk us the whole line, single file, all the way down, which is so much better. Because if any of you have ever been to a rope drop, there are always those people that think they're clever who are going to rush past everybody that they've been standing behind because they're just not walking fast enough.
Right.
Super irritating. Disney folks, calm down. So we've been to openings.
Yeah, that was really cool too, because they even had like a back section completely, like they had like a whole queue line
that
wasn't expected that they took us through that nobody would have even known was there if it wasn't for that cast member for Guardian of the Galaxy. So it was fun. Although they would not let me get on because I didn't scan my pass properly.
Oh, I was so mad at you. For whatever reason,
outside of that,
for whatever reason, you decided instead of using your actual pass, you decided to use the phone app.
I think I'd forgot my pass at home or something.
Was that it that time?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
But it was depressing.
But I waited in line to get everybody fast passes, and then I got to yours, and it's like, this is not valid because it hasn't been used to get into the park today. I was like, oh my gosh. It's so frustrating. But we did end up getting on anyway, and it all worked out fine. So we've done Disney openings and things like that. It's always exciting to be one of the first people there. You know, see things for yourself. It's very exciting. Which brings us to our most recent openings, which would be the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge areas in both coast parks.
Yeah, and they had two very distinctly different approaches to the openings of these parks. And part of it could potentially be true because of the makeup of the individual parks. California in Anaheim was the first one to open. They opened that one first, and it was very strategic, right?
Very much.
Very much so, that they decided to basically black out all passes. So if you had any season pass or anything, you basically weren't able to get in during any of that time unless you're willing to pay an extra, like, what was it? Like $199 park hopper or something?
I'm sure.
$99 for it, something like that. You also had to make reservations online. It was very, very, very specific on how you were going to get into that park. Mm-hmm. You know, so they gave it that approach, so much so that people are saying that it worked out too well that the park was then empty for 3 months, basically,
which people appreciated, honestly.
Listen, as a person going to the park, yes ma'am, sign me up for that.
Well, the only downside to it is that you and I are pass holders currently, and you pay a lot of money for those annual passes. A lot of money. And to be told, okay, but now you can't use your annual passes to get into the biggest opening that we've had in years, I'm sure is frustrating for people.
Yeah, because you know this was bigger than Toontown.
Sure. Are you sure?
Google it, kids.
And so I can imagine that there were a lot of fairly frustrated people.
I would imagine that Disney, when they sold the passes for that year, would have gone in and told you what your blackout dates were going to be.
They always do.
And probably if you researched it well enough to find out when the opening occurred and different things, it would have told you that you weren't going to have one during that time period. So hopefully it's just something that you accept and accept that you'll be able to get into the land afterwards. But that was, you know, we saw that they stopped hiring at Disney, which is basically unheard of. They never stop hiring there, and they put a block on that, and they were reducing people's schedules, all kinds of things for people in the park because the parks were so empty.
Well, the Star Wars thing, I've been saying for a long time that it was going to be crazy, very, very busy. And they were so strict and so regimented with how they allowed people into Galaxy's Edge that they made me a liar. They turned me into a liar.
Yeah, you were so scared about it, we moved to the East Coast.
Right, we ran all the way to the other side of the country. And it didn't happen that way. And people were skeptical. People were a little bit cynical, seeing the crowd levels as they were and how slow it is as compared to even how it normally is at Disneyland.
Yeah, there's the helicopter shots online showing how empty the parks are.
Yeah, a lot of people, I feel like, delighted in the fact that Disney didn't make as much money. It wasn't as popular. It wasn't as crowded.
It is interesting to see that Disney maybe, because we've talked about this quite a bit, that the passes have been going up, the ticket pricing has been going up at such an extreme rate mm-hmm. that it needs to come to a stop at some point in time
sure.
in order for us to continue to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't continue
You're
to charge.
You're going to price people out eventually.
Right. And so for me, I would just hope that that might be the takeaway on this one, is that you can only push people so far before they have a breaking point of what... that's all to say, but I don't think that's at all what happened with this. That's not
at all. It's not at all what happened,
and
because...
And to be fair, the Galaxy's Edge is a 30-40 year investment on that park, right?
Yeah.
It's something that they're going to see a return on for decades to come.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it might be a little bit slower for a month or two, in the grand scale of things, doesn't mean very much.
and it opened at the beginning of school years for a lot of people. I think if you wait till the holiday season, I think you might see the crowds increase considerably for that.
Right.
But then in complete juxtaposition to that, you look at the Florida Galaxy's Edge opening. I personally have not watched any videos of Galaxy's Edge. I've not seen the inside. I have not watched Smuggler's Run. I have not done anything. If I see one more picture of Blue and Green Milk, I might throw up. But in general, I've kept myself very shut off from all of the information.
Uh-huh.
Because I like to be surprised by things. Not everybody does, but we have the luxury of living close enough that we can go to the park and actually experience it.
Yeah.
So I want to experience it myself.
Yeah, and they had like cast member preview days a couple weeks before the park opened.
Yeah.
And they were allowing cast members to live blog on YouTube their walk arounds throughout the park. And they had people that were going through multiple times. Once in the morning, once in the evening, once in the afternoon,
sure.
once at closing time.
And people loved that.
And people loved it. They watched the park all day long. And that's fine and that's fantastic. But then, like you're saying, is that it ruins... then it makes it so that you don't get to have a first time experience. It's basically, this is now your second time to the park.
You went
once online, and then you get to go a second time,
right? And to be fair, it's already open in California and they're basically identical, so it's not like they're throwing out spoilers that nobody knows, you know.
Right.
There's a whole park that's already open.
Yeah.
I just, for me personally, I like to have a first time experience where I walk in and see things for the first time myself. But I did, however, see some footage and some photos of opening day Florida.
Right.
And if you ever doubted that Disney people are crazy,
I love it.
All you need to do is look at what happened in Florida. Nothing bad, thank
right, because it does feel like they did a little bit of a free-for-all on this one. We've talked about that Florida doesn't have as many annual pass holders that go to that park. It's more of a national or international park that people come from all around the world to go to that park as much.
Right.
So maybe that's kind of maybe why. But then I think also Disney wanted to have people lining up at their parks at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And they did.
And they did the rope drop and hordes of people.
The crowds were incredible. You look at the footage of people just putting up their camera and turning, and it's just wall to wall people all the way down the entry.
Yeah.
And they've been like, it took us an hour to get in and we're waiting here until it opens, you know, and it's just, I hope you use the bathroom because you're going to be standing there for a long time.
Yeah, this is not a day to hydrate.
And dehydrate yourself.
it's worth it.
Don't do that. That's a terrible idea. The lines for the one ride, I have to stress this again, there's only one ride in the entire area, shot up to 300 minutes, which is a cute way of saying way too long, almost instantly. you know.
Just once I want to see wait time that's 999 because there's not room for a 1,000-minute wait. I'm just saying.
Was that a Haunted Mansion throwback?
It really wasn't, but...
Oh, okay. It was... This is my cynical side coming out. There's only one ride and lots of stores. And I understand that people like the immersion into the land. People are really praising the amount of detail in the actual area itself, which I think is phenomenal. I love when people put the effort in. But people are acting like they're going to spend all day in this area. And I hate to say that there's not enough for you to do to spend all day in there. There's a single attraction. There are some neat stores that people are super excited about. And then if you really want to feel sick on a hot Florida day, get yourself a giant glass of milk. Ew. And then what are you going to do for the rest of the day? I think this kind of excitement was just wanting to be the first. You want to be in. You want to be first. All the vloggers, all the bloggers, all the podcasters, they all wanted to be in there first. You know, it's kind of that excitement level, which I totally get. I love when people are excited about things. But this entry looked like my worst nightmare.
Which, in the opposite, but what's so funny about that is that this is exactly what Disney wanted.
Right.
They needed to make it feel like it was a must be there moment, and it had to be, you know, they needed to have us now talking about the fact, not us specifically.
I'm sure they're listening now. You're welcome, Disney.
Right? But like the fact that all the community's like, look what happened, because everybody found so much enjoyment out of what happened in California, over the California park, you know?
Right.
But I do have to say, as a guest at the park, I would much rather the Anaheim experience.
Right.
You're alone in the park, where it just feels like you have a little bit of just a few other, you know, kind of like extras filling in around you.
Yeah.
In your own private movie. Fantastic.
Well, and that's, like you said, that's not what Disney wants. They did Anaheim in a certain way, I think, to see how it would work out. And I think it injured their pride a bit.
I think so.
Everybody wanted to see just the mobs of people so excited to get into the area. And unfortunately in Anaheim, with the way they set it up, it didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And so I think very much in Florida, they said, well, we've already opened one, so people already know what's in there. Let's just let people go.
Right.
And they did. And people showed up for Star Wars in Florida.
And the big ride is coming later this year, December 5th, I think it is, that they're opening the grand ride that's going to be there, right?
Rise of the Resistance.
Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, and there's so much speculation about this ride. It's insane. People throwing out random crazy things like, oh, this ride could be a 30-minute long ride.
Oh, wow.
You said that you heard somewhere that there could be a horrific drop in it, like Tower of Terror.
A 20 to 30 foot. Not quite as...
But still, people are just throwing things around, and so I'm reserving judgment until we actually get the ride put in. But it's exciting, it's thrilling, but it all goes to show that even the most experienced of people opening attractions and parks and areas... still just it's all guesswork. Right. You have no idea what's going to be the best way to do happen. It.
Yep, completely true. And I tell you what, now's a perfect time for me to now start going to Toy Story, because we've yet to fully experience that park.
Yeah. So they say everywhere else in Hollywood Studios is a ghost town. So
that's fantastic.
Next trip, we might get on Slinky Dog Dash finally.
We should have gone this weekend.
Oh, yeah, right in time for the hurricane? No, thank you.
Oh, yeah, right. Next podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thinking about your Florida. Hope that hurricane does bounce right off you and move north.
Yeah,
you
be safe.
Be safe out there. But it's like I always say, to all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.